Okay, just testing 1, 2, 3. That's coming across. Okay.
Oh, that's my tummy. I hope that is.
I actually heard that. It was amplified through the microphone.
Oh, my God. I hope that doesn't happen. That was my tummy.
That's all right. If it comes through in the interview, I can edit it out. Or I can say, oh, sorry, people. I haven't had breakfast yet. Yeah. Actually, I haven't come to think of it, but that's all right.
No, nor have I.
Okay. Here we go. You're listening to Hunter Valley Today with Darren Katrupi. Today there is a meeting at Upper Hunter Shire Council Chambers in Scone. It's a meeting of one of their committees, which gets to look at development applications before they go to what they call council in full, which is all the councillors to vote on whatever the application is. Now, this is not the first time this committee has met to consider this issue, the issue being the development application for a proposed private helipad in Merriwar. Today, a report is being considered by the committee that's come from council staff, which again recommends that council approve the development application for the private helipad. But this time they've come back and they've changed the so-called restrictions. Instead of 7 flights per week, they're now saying a maximum of 4, including a maximum of 1 landing and takeoff each day. And also now they're recommending approval only be given for a period of 5 years, and also that it be reviewed as the 5-year period approaches to allow council to revisit the issue again and obviously take the impacts of the 5 years of operation of flights in this location. Is this good enough? Is this going to make local residents who are opposed to the private helipad proposal happy? Well, let's find out. Kim and Fiona are local residents who have been campaigning very loudly along with their fellow community members to stop council from approving it, and they join me here in the studio. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
And thanks for coming in ahead of the meeting today. I suppose that first question is, these new conditions, does that make you sort of go, oh, okay, that's good?
No, not at all. It doesn't matter whether it's 3 to 4 or 7 flights maximum per week, because it's still 365 days a year at any given time. So as we were mentioned before, the shift workers, it's certainly going to affect their lifestyle.
Okay, so one of the reasons I got you guys in, I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago and aired our conversations, and then had the Council General Manager, Greg McDonald, on, who responded to a lot of the things that you guys said. You don't agree with some of his answers?
No, just a few. When he was talking about the bushfire area, he stated that it does not fall into a bushfire-prone zone, but with a simple Google search on the RFS website, it clearly states the proposed site, and I quote, "The parcel of land you have selected is within a designated bushfire-prone area, and any proposed development upon the property will be required to comply with the planning for bushfire protection for new works."
Okay, well, that's pretty clear.
Yes.
Sorry, what else? Yeah,
that's right. So also with CASA, Mr. McDonald references CASA, and it totally contradicts the advice we have received. CASA guidelines confirm helipads must have a safety inclusion zone of a minimum of a 30-metre diameter. The property in question is barely 20 metres wide. CASA has fully advised that the failure to comply with their guidelines and the event of an accident, not only will the applicant be held accountable, but also council. Remembering CASA stands for Civil Aviation Safety Authority. Now, the sound test, I don't know how the council can accept without question a sound test that the proponent conducted himself. Not only does this raise probity issues, but at the very least, a conflict of interest. In the Noise Guide for Local Government Part 3, Noise Management Principles, it clearly states that a qualified acoustic technician must conduct the testing. With the communication, only a handful of residents were notified of this DA. Our community was made aware of this initially when I posted the letter on Facebook. It has been entirely through our effort of keeping the conversation going that people are aware of the DA, not through the council's community consultation. General Manager Mr. McDonald also advised that there's no need to speak with the Scone Airport, as the airport is 60 kilometres from the proposed site. However, the applicant uses all weather data supplied by Scone Airport. Why has the applicant not taken reference to Marywar's weather station? Also, surely the Scone Airport would have a full understanding of CASA regulations and could direct council to specific requirements that would relate to a development such as this.
So the thing that stands out to me, and it's actually in the papers that are being considered by the committee meeting that you're going to today, is that they have not received any written response from CASA. How can you make a decision without having formal advice from the Civil Aviation Safety Authority?
Correct. So he's had a verbal discussion with them. Apparently they told him that it was irrelevant, but I think the multitude of this helipad being in a designated heritage residential conservation area should be of utmost importance. The hazards that it will create, it's, yeah.
Okay. Fiona, you're also not overly happy with the General Manager's responses either.
Oh, definitely not. In Council's 2021 planning proposal for the Heritage Conservation Area, it was noted that King George V Avenue was to be retained as a conservation area. Whilst the map does not include the property in question, their description does. The southeastern section of King George V Avenue has been removed, but this property is located in the northeastern section. And Mr. McDonald also spoke of how council address DAs of this nature and magnitude. Well, how many DAs of this nature or magnitude have the Upper Hunter Shire Council received to date? This is the first DA for a private helipad in a residential area in our shire that we have been made aware of. Mr. McDonald made reference to following all procedures, but if this application is a first of its kind, i.e., you know, it's in a residential area, it's a bushfire-prone area, it's a heritage conservation area, wouldn't it be prudent of council to investigate in full to alleviate any concerns residents may have? In your recent interview with Mr. McDonald, he acknowledged the residents' concerns. However, council have failed to address any of them. Mr. McDonald also referred to council's mission vision statement as an overarching desire of council. This statement was developed by council after consultation with community members. Council proudly displays this statement on their website and stationery. So I find this statement by Mr. McDonald to be quite baffling and would have to ask council why would they go to the expense of developing a statement that they believe to be totally unachievable. And Mr. McDonald referred also to the community drop-in sessions, but Mr. McDonald must be a little bit confused. Kim and I were unable to attend the drop-in sessions. In fact, I emailed council requesting, as I was unable to attend, details of other mechanisms council had in place for community consultation on this development. Mr. Paul Smith, Senior Environmental Planner, responded to my email. When we've spoken to councillors, they seemed very concerned that if this DA was not approved, that the applicant would take them to the Land and Environment Court. Surely this is not an excuse to ignore community concerns. We deserve and are entitled to due process, procedural fairness, and of course transparency.
So having a vision, I suppose what he's saying is they try to achieve that vision, but it's not always possible. Is that good enough?
No, definitely not. Particularly when they make comment that they've had extensive consultation with the community in order to develop this overarching desire of council.
So you guys you've read through all these council documents, you know, from front to cover, back to front, inside out and around again, more than I even have. And it seems like you guys might have a bit more of an understanding of some of the council's documents than the council may have.
Yes, maybe we do.
I've got about 10 pages full of legislation that actually prevents this proposal to actually go ahead. And yet the council's still saying they're satisfied with the applicant's proposal. We just can't see how, by law, it could actually be approved.
Mm. My guests are Kim and Fiona, Merriwort residents, who are fighting against this development application for a private helipad in their town. So you're going to get a chance to speak at the meeting today, I understand?
Yes, 5 minutes each.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, and I suppose you'll be putting the same arguments you've just outlined here to myself, but maybe in a bit more detail, rather than responding to the general manager. At the end of the day, is it really going to matter what this committee says, because it's going to go back to the council in full who will make the decision? So does it matter whether this committee supports or not? Because last time they knocked it back, but it still went to the council in full to consider.
Yeah, that's right. We think that this is an important meeting, because I think it'll make it a lot harder for the next meeting to actually approve it if the Environmental and Community Services meeting objects to it again. So,
Yes.
Okay, so you're obviously hopeful that today will go in your favour.
Yes, definitely.
We'll offer another rejection, yes.
Do you expect that decision to be made today, or the committee will go away and come back and advise at some later date?
Well, as of last meeting that we had over the same issue, once we'd all spoken, then they made their votes. So, yeah, okay. It was done on the same day.
So we will know today.
Yep.
Okay, well, thank you for coming in and filling us in on that and responding to the general manager's comments here with me on Hunter Valley today. And best of luck for today. And, we'll be talking.
Thanks, Darren.
Thank you.
This is Hunter Valley Today on 981 2NM.